So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Tommy Freedom, and I'm glad that you were able to tune in this week. I think mostly what I'm going to cover this week is dealing with the recent events in North Korea, dealing with their testing of both long-range missiles as well as the detonation of what has now been determined to be a hydrogen bomb. Just what exactly are we going to do about this? Now, Donald Trump has warned very sternly that any action on his part that is anything that's threatening to us will be met with fire and destruction. I think, folks, it's time for a preemptive strike. We have played with this idiot for too long. He now has a verifiable hydrogen bomb. He has made this thing small enough to fit in a missile that has been tested that can reach, at a minimum, Guam, possibly Hawaii, possibly even the West Coast. We really don't know exactly what his capabilities are. We do know, however, that he has stated that his intent is to develop these weapons so that he can use them against us. Now, that in and of itself should... What's the word I'm looking for here, George? It should... thank you. It should warrant us taking a preemptive strike, some kind of preemptive action. We should not wait until we are attacked again like the Japanese did to us at Pearl Harbor. Now, you got all these left-wing freaks out there screaming bloody murder about attacking North Korea and going to war, and it'll turn into World War III and all that crap. Those are the same people that if Hawaii were nuked or LA or San Diego or Chicago were nuked by this crazy guy with the bad haircut, they would be demanding Trump's head for not going in and taking action. You can never appease these people. The proper thing to do, however, is to take action. And don't worry about China. I've told you about this before, folks. China is not going to war against the United States if we take preemptive action. They're just simply not going to do it. If we go to war and we win, we cancel all the debt obligations. If we go to war and they win, what are they going to take it from? So they are not going to go to war, first and foremost, because they are going to be afraid of losing all the trillions of dollars in debt that they have purchased. They cannot afford to do that, folks. And the last thing that you want to do is destroy a country's ability to pay you back. Look at history. Since when has a country that was defeated, a country defeated another country, the country that was defeated, since when have they ever paid any reparations? I can think of one, and that was Germany, when they were forced to pay for Israel. But they did not pay for any debt that was incurred. We absorbed that. And then additionally, we went in and cleaned up all the damage. So again, China cannot afford to go to war with us. And really, North Korea is not that big of a deal to the Chinese, with one exception. They do buy a lot of coal from North Korea. I'm quite certain, however, that should we go to war with North Korea and reunify the country, turn it over to South Korea, that they would be more than happy to continue selling and exporting coal to the Chinese. So that's an empty threat there as well. Don't listen to the leftist loonies with all the dire predictions they're making. It's not going to happen. But you cannot negotiate with a lunatic like this guy is. He is clearly insane. Now, have you looked at the way he's executed people? One of them he set on fire with a flamethrower. Another one he actually shot with an anti-aircraft round. Can you imagine being struck with a projectile 1.5 or 2 inches in diameter at close range? My God, what is going through this guy's head? People like you and I cannot fathom how someone like this thinks. You just can't, because he is so clearly off his rocker and insane that you cannot get inside a person's head like that. All you can do is look at his actions and determine how he will act in the future and take appropriate steps to make sure that that never freaking happens. It's imperative to understand what this latest test was. This was a hydrogen bomb, not an atomic bomb. Now, the test that they did, I think it was last year, that he claimed was a hydrogen bomb, and we determined it wasn't. It was just an atomic bomb with a booster. We finally realized that it was a lot deeper underground than we had originally thought. And it was most likely a small hydrogen bomb. This one was more powerful. It set off an earthquake with a magnitude, of about 6.3 to 6.8. If you've ever been through an earthquake of that magnitude, and I have, I've been through a trembler that lasted for approximately 23 seconds. It was a 6.8. It originated in Quebec, and I was in Niagara Falls, Ontario at the time. And it was an incredible earthquake to go through. So for them to have detonated this thing to cause that kind of a readout is incredible. Now, atomic weapons are fission weapons. That means that their power comes from splitting the atom. Now, in a thermonuclear weapon, this is what's known as a fusion weapon. It uses a smaller fission weapon to then fuse particles of light and ions, and I don't know the exact science of this, together. And in doing so, that releases even more energy than splitting the atom. This is essentially what goes on in our sun and other stars, where hydrogen is compressed into helium, and it releases a tremendous amount of energy in the process. Again, this is what fuels stars. So when a hydrogen bomb goes off for a few seconds, you actually have a miniature star detonating either underground or above ground. That's why the release of energy is so intense. Now, typically, fission weapons are measured in kilotons, which means a kiloton is 1,000 tons of TNT going off simultaneously. Very powerful. Nowhere near as powerful as what you get in a fusion weapon. Those are measured in megatons, which is 1 million tons of TNT exploding simultaneously. Now, even this latest weapon is still in the kiloton range. I think it's a couple dozen kilotons. I've heard that it was 18 kilotons. I've heard it was more. I don't honestly know. But either way, we're looking at something that's approximately twice as powerful as what leveled Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So if that were to land, say, in Honolulu, it would be a very bad day for Hawaii. It would literally take out most of the island. That is something that's very, very dangerous. So something needs to be done now to keep that from happening. Now, I'm tired of listening to all these morons who say we had to learn with or we had to deal and live with a nuclear-armed Soviet Union. We had to learn to deal and live with a nuclear-equipped China and Pakistan. Yeah, but those weapons were developed for their armies. This guy is developing it to use directly. It's like going out and buying reloading equipment to load your own ammo to go and deliberately shoot somebody next week. It's the same thing. It's not buying a box of ammo for home defense, which is what the United States, Soviet Union, the Chinese, the Indians, the Pakistanis, the Israelis, is what they all have these weapons for. Defense, not offense. We cannot allow North Korea to go any further with this technology. It needs to be ended, and it needs to be ended now. This is the guy who had his own uncle executed. It turned out that the guy was trying to take over the country through a coup, which probably would have been a very good thing. And he had him executed, and then his body was fed to hungry dogs afterwards. That is just unthinkable. That's not something you do to a family member, regardless of what they're trying to do to you. You know, imprison them for life, or maybe even, you know, firing squad or whatever. But to then feed your own family member to the dogs is not how a sane person reacts. And again, I told you before, he took out one guy with a flamethrower, another one with an anti-aircraft weapon. He's had people poisoned. He has so far executed 75 members of his own team. If that's not an indication of what he is capable of, then I guess nothing is. But people just are not getting it, folks. They are not understanding. And most of the people that are running their mouths regarding this are people who are not old enough to have gone through a major war. They don't understand what tactics are. They have no clue whatsoever. What you do to prevent war sometimes is to actually do damage ahead of time. Now, Ronald Reagan did that to Libya. He learned. And he actually... I'm talking about Gaddafi now. He actually took steps to work with the West. When he realized what he was actually up against, it got through to him. Kim Jong-un cannot be reasoned with. He does not think that way. Now, as insane as Muammar Gaddafi was, he was not stupid. This fat kid with the bad haircut is not only insane, he's also stupid. And you cannot reason with stupid people. Every day that goes by without anything happening, the threat grows more and more imminent. Now, General Mattis has said we have several options that include the complete annihilation of North Korea. Now, that could mean many things. That could be carpet bombing, using MOABs, bunker busters, that sort of a thing, or it could actually mean tactical use of nuclear weapons. I can tell you this. If North Korea does launch a nuclear attack against us, we will annihilate that country. There is absolutely no question about that whatsoever. We would just immediately take them out. The only problem with that is that the fallout would most likely land on Japan and South Korea. Some collateral damage, which we don't necessarily wish to do. But certainly, if we are ever nuked, we must defend ourselves with a nuclear response. Now, what if he's developing these nuclear weapons not to actually use against us directly, but indirectly? So you're thinking, Tommy, how can you use a nuclear weapon indirectly? I mean, the whole purpose in using a nuclear weapon is to take out an entire city, right? Well, in most cases, yes. But what if you only had one or two really good, high-quality nukes? How could you get the most bang for your buck? drop one on Chicago, another one on New York City. Yeah. And you would take out several million people between New York City and Chicago, probably close to 15 million people, if not more. But what if you could get an even bigger bang for your buck? Would you do it? Most certainly. So how would you do that with nuclear weapons? Not by bombing U.S. soil directly, but by detonating that nuclear weapon 200 miles above the United States from a satellite or from an ICBM. I'm going to take a short break. When I come back, I'm going to explain to you exactly how an electromagnetic pulse would cripple not only the United States, but would devastate the global economy. Be back in a couple of minutes, folks. Don't go anywhere.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net, and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com. And remember to always be prepared.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom, it may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so before the break, I was talking to you about the possibility of North Korea using an electromagnetic pulse bomb to cripple the U.S. economy, which would result in the entire world's economy being crippled, which would affect not only the Soviet Union, but China as well, particularly China, which again is why I don't think China is going to get involved if we take preemptive action against Kim Jong-un. They understand what this actually means. Now, with thermonuclear weapons that, say, the United States, the Chinese, the Russians have, you know, something like a 10-megaton weapon, if that were detonated 200 miles above Kansas, it would pretty much wipe out every electronic device in the contiguous United States. There might be a few remote places in Washington State or Maine or southern Florida, something like that. But for the most part, every device would be fried. It would never work again. And it wouldn't matter whether it was running at the time or not. Now, an electromagnetic pulse from the sun, as long as your device was turned off, it would probably be okay. But the kind that you get out of a nuclear weapon is so intense that the wiring in every system will act like an antenna and funnel all that energy through all the little diodes and capacitors and pretty much fry everything. Now, the one exception to the rule with that is old automobiles. It would still fry your points in your condenser, but if you kept an extra set of points and condenser in a Faraday cage, you could simply replace them, and those vehicles would work. This was actually done in a novel called One Second After, which ironically takes place here in North Carolina, so it was very refreshing to read a novel that was based entirely here in North Carolina. I think the only other book that's really of interest to us dealing with the government or what might happen was Patriot Act. Part of that took place here in North Carolina, but One Second After takes place entirely in North Carolina, and it deals with the effects of a small town just outside of Asheville after an EMP is detonated, and how nothing works, and how society falls apart, and people come through trying to take from this little town the precious resources that it has. And it gives you a very stark inside view of what this world would look like after an EMP attack. Now, stop and think how many things that you use have electronics in them, folks. And not just electronics themselves, because anything with an electric motor would be fried. Anything like that would not work ever again. We would immediately be placed back into the late 1800s, just before electricity really became popular. We would be back to candles, to using horses. Blacksmiths and carpenters who know how to use hand tools would become the new computer gurus. Someone like me who knows how to use hand tools would be a very valuable resource. My dad does hammering. He's not a full-fledged blacksmith, but he knows how to do some hammering. People would be looking for someone like that to make knives and tools and to fix things as they break, because you won't be able to just go to the store and buy them anymore. Let me explain to you the devastation that this would cause, not only to your personal items, but it would blow out every transformer on the power grid. And we're not just talking about the big 55-gallon drums on top of telephone poles. We're also talking the big ones that are like the size of half a house that are used in substations, okay? My understanding is those are not made in America. Why? I don't know. That's stupid. So they would have to be shipped from overseas somewhere, because they would all instantly be blown out. The problem is, it takes a year to build one of these things, folks, and we would literally need thousands of them. So you would literally be looking at 1,000 labor years. So what that would actually entail would be close to 20 years before the electric grid would be fully restored. Obviously, rural areas would be the last to get these. The cities would get them first. But can you imagine our modern society having to contend with no power for 20 years? Well, I can tell you, within the first 6 weeks, 90% of the population would be dead. Those that were left, as I have discussed before, would be those who prepared and who had special skills. Now, again, I know how to use hand tools. I can use power tools, but I was taught on hand tools, and many of the hand tools that I own are over 100 years old. And I have hand tools that most people have no idea what they are looking at them. Broad axes and broad hatchets and froes, things like that. I know how to use a hammer and chisel. I know how to put all this stuff together. When I built my cabin up at the remote location high atop a mountain ridge, I built it post and beam with a hammer, a bit brace, and what else? I had three tools. I used a hammer. Oh, a tree pruning saw. A broken tree pruning saw. You know, the kind of that's on the end of a pole with a little curved blade on it. I used that to cut the timbers. I used the hammer to spike the stuff together and for notching joints together. And then I used the bit brace. I used to sell patio covers, and I had enough stuff to cover my porch. So I used the bit brace with a nut driver and actually turned the tech screws in with the bit brace, all by hand. Now, when I built the addition, I built that stick frame, and I had then bought a cordless kit, which was a lot easier. My point being is, I was able to do this all with hand tools out in the middle of the woods. Most people don't know how to do that. They're not going to know how to fix something in their house without power tools. They're not going to know how to build houses or places to live without power tools. And it will be hell on earth. It really will. People have no concept of what an EMP strike will do. Now, to protect your own things, I mentioned a Faraday cage before. A Faraday cage channels the incoming energy. It acts as a giant antenna and funnels it around your electronic components. So anything that's made of metal or a fine screen mesh that is grounded will work as a Faraday cage. So a really good way to protect your vehicle, if it's a modern vehicle, is to get one of those half-round aluminum garages that you see all over the place and line the floor with some kind of thin aluminum. Flashing, obviously, is too narrow, but kick plate, something like that, that's heavy-duty enough that you can drive over it, and then have it grounded at all four corners. And then your car would still work after an EMP attack. But that is a very, very real threat. And actually, the BBC's foreign affairs advisor has warned that an EMP attack from North Korea is imminent. And this is what we're looking at as an even bigger danger than being nuked directly. And it's very, very important for us to stay focused and look for the telltale signs. Now, this is most likely why just a few tests ago on the missiles, where they actually went into outer space for height rather than for trajectory. Because all they need to do is to launch one of these things off of a sub 100 miles off the coast of California and put it at its highest trajectory, and you are looking at Kansas. It would not have the same effect as one of ours, but it would still be horrendous. Well, folks, that's some food for thought for you to think about this week. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, you want to get in touch with me for some reason, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.